Hello.
Oh, that was quite loud. We'll keep that far away. There we go. So we're just going to have a little bit of fun before we start. So we've got a little quiz for y'all. All right? So it's a whodunit quiz. So you've got to guess which one of us done the thing on the screen. So we'll run through our names again really quick.
Amy.
Cody.
Ola.
Hannah.
You got that? Hopefully, yes. Okay, the first question is, who ate some anti-bac hand gel?
Just shout out names.
Shout out names. Okay. That was me. And if anybody knows what odds on is, it's kind of like a dare. I got dared to do it. It was disgusting. I was tasting lemon for days. And then we read the back of the bottle and it was like, if consumed, seek a doctor immediately. But I was fine, but just don't do it. Okay, the next question. Who got electrocuted by a banana?
Always me. Every
just
single
give
one.
Off the vibes. Okay, that was Hannah.
And that was because our fridge in our flat tended to give you a bit of an electric shock if you touched it. And we had some bananas sat on the top of it, and I went to get a banana, and it gave me an electric shock, which was a surprise.
Yep. Next question. Who jumped out of a moving tuk-tuk? Okay, so if you don't know what a tuk-tuk is, it's like the little taxis in India that's a bit like a motorbike on the front. Then it's like, so it's like a big three-wheeled motorbike with like seating in the back. So who jumped out of a moving tuk-tuk? Okay. That one was Amy.
I was stupidly on my phone when we were in the tuk-tuk, and it was quite a bumpy ride, and it just bumped out the tuk-tuk, and in my panic, I jumped out after it. And we were shouting at the guy to stop, and he wasn't stopping, so I just had to run, and I kind of did a thing where I held onto it as I ran the other way. But I didn't fall, which
was
really
funny. It was like slow motion. So funny.
Okay, the next question. Who tripped over a fence in front of everyone at camp? Okay, any other guesses? No. That was me. Every time. Basically, there was a shortcut up this really steep hill, and there was a barbed wire fence at the top that had been pushed over. And I just fell in front of everybody. Amy likes to say that I fell over like a sack of potatoes. Yep. It wasn't funny for me, but next question. Okay. Who sang the Imperial Death March, which is from Star Wars if you don't know, instead of the funeral song, to their toast on the way to the bin? Yes,
that one was me, yeah. So I made a piece, firstly, I bought a toaster because I was sick and tired of curry and I couldn't eat it anymore. So I bought a toaster, which we all used and it was the best thing ever. But I made a piece of toast, I buttered it and I was so excited to eat it. And then I dropped it on the floor and I thought, being in India, can't eat that now. That is going to make me ill. So I took it to the bin and I sang apparently the Star Wars song instead of the funeral song to my piece of toast on the way to the bin.
Yeah, she did it deadly serious as well. She had no idea.
I was in the kitchen on my own as well, so that made it all worse. And then Cody came in and was like, what are you doing? I'm singing to my toast, obviously.
Obviously. Okay, next question. Which team member got one or more piercings in their ears?
If you know this one, don't say it, because we have said it at
have
some
we?
Point. Yeah.
We've spoken to someone.
Okay, anyway. Me, Hannah. This is a trick question, because it's actually all of us. So, nobody got that one right. That's all right. Yep.
So, this was on my birthday. We just decided that we were all going to go and get our ears pierced, so we did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Next question. Who is the only member of Team Delhi to have brown eyes? Any other guesses? Okay, that one is, in fact, Amy.
My eyes.
They are her very own eyes.
Yeah. Can't explain that one.
Okay. We can't explain that one, you're right. Amy's just got brown eyes. It's like she was born.
She was born with them.
She was.
Yeah.
Okay, the next slide. Is that awesome? Okay.
So, in Team Delhi, we love a video. And while we were at training for a tour, we were set the challenge by BMS to make a video to brief next year's team. And this is what we came up with. So if you like, imagine that you are coming to Delhi on an action team, and this is what you get. Hopefully it's informative, and hopefully you don't have too many more questions after it. So enjoy this video.
Didi namaste.
Namaste.
Di aap kaise ho?
Main acchi hoon, aap kaise ho?
Bahut acche.
Oh, hi. Didn't see you there. We're Team Delhi.
Namaste.
This is a video we've made to share our top tips and tricks with you on how to survive life in Delhi.
We hope you enjoy.
Bye.
Cut.
John is an absolute living legend and he's hands down one of the funniest people I've ever met. You'll have such a good time with him and he will become your Indian dad.
Abba is an absolute babe and she will be your Indian mum for your 6 months abroad. She is so kind and caring and always there to talk to. If ever you're having any doubts or any worries or anything, you can always go to her for advice.
Arnold, John and Abba's son. We love playing games with him and we especially loved his baking.
Christy is John and Abba's daughter. And we had so much fun with her. We'd have games evenings and stuff like that, and she was just so good to spend time with. We had lots of laughs and lots of fun.
Age dynamics are slightly different in India. People will call you Didi, especially the kids, and older people will be referred to as auntie and uncle.
In India, you will find that some people will stare. It's very normal, and you get used to it, and Abba will help you out a lot when you arrive in the country. So, yeah.
These are kurtas. This is like your everyday apparel that you wear.
We wear them for school and for church, and as you can see, they come in all colours, and that is a very Indian thing which we loved about the country.
The sari!
Traditionally worn by women at special occasions. You'll have lots of fun picking it out, but not as much fun trying to figure out how to put it on.
Welcome to How to Look Good in the Sari. So, today I've got my three beautiful assistants. Now, hold on a second. There's something wrong with your sari here.
Oh no.
This is too short. You should not be able to see your feet like that. Out of the way, come on. Wow, you're looking... Oh no. Please, no. There's no pleats in this sari. That's why you're finding it so difficult to walk. Out of the way. Wow, give me a spin. Oh dear. This should not be here. This should be at the front. You button up your sari at the front. No.
Oh no.
Basically, none of these saris looked good, but you can do better.
Cody, come on, you need to wake up. It's time to collect breakfast.
Okay, so we're going to start today's devotion with a song. Okay? 3, 2, 1, go.
Yehi hai din, yehi hai din, Rabb ne hamein diya.
So today we're back in Proverbs, so if you could all turn to Proverbs 31.
Church, and the people in the church are so lovely, warm and welcoming, and they really do make you feel at home.
And part of your program at church will be helping out with Sunday school, and you will love it because the kids are just so joyful and amazing to spend time with.
Tuk-tuks and Ubers are the best ways to get around. However, don't be overcharged and do bargain for a good price. Kids love crafts. Make sure you pack supplies.
Dress modestly in Delhi.
Don't show your shoulders or your knees.
Do remember to pack jumpers, jeans and slippers because Delhi can get cold.
Do remember to apply sun cream.
And also remember to take and apply mosquito repellent at all times. Otherwise, you will be left with gaping scars on your legs. Top tip.
Rice, baby. Stop. Grab your rope and listen. It's hungry, grabbing your attention. You'll curry and rope it for dinner. I think we found a winner. Rice, baby. Rice, baby. Taste it.
Well, thank you for watching. So in that video, I don't know if you'll remember, but there was a little bit that said that you guys could put on a sari better. So we're going to put that to the test. So that does mean that I am going to need some more volunteers, but it's going to be fun. So I need 4 volunteers, 2 people to wear saris and 2 people to read. So if you can read, you count. So you can come and volunteer. Somebody else pick the volunteers.
Would anybody like to volunteer? It's not hard at all.
It's just a bit of fun. Otherwise, we will pick. So
it's not gender specific.
Either put your hand up or I'm going to come and pick you out.
A guy can wear it too.
It's funnier when a guy does it, so.
Would anybody like?
No. Okay. Paul, can you come and stand here for us, please? Anybody else? Could you come and stand here? And could, yep. And then, could you come be a reader for me? Actually, okay. So if you come and stand here, and then you come and stand over here, then you can be a reader, and then we need one other person who can read. Anybody who can read. Anybody.
I'm sure some people can read in this room.
You can read. Can you come and be a reader for me? Okay, so you're going to put on a sari, you're going to put on a sari, you're going to read, and you're going to read. So in front of you, there will be a sari. You come and stand over here. And there will also be an orange piece of paper with some instructions. And we're going to give you... How much time?
2.5 minutes.
2.5 minutes to put on a sari. So follow the instructions and put on a sari. Everyone cheer them on. Keep them going. Wait, hold on. We've not started the timer yet.
Are you ready?
Are you ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
Open it out and the border will become clear.
Clearer,
hopefully.
The large border. Hey, one that looks like a little large
the one that you're
piece in front of you.
Looks quite large and border-like.
That looks like a great large border.
Amazing. Where does it say to put that large border?
Yeah, drop it. There we go. Fab.
To the opposite
end.
To the right. Yeah. No, so this is the large border and that's the opposite end.
Yeah, you got to actually tuck it into your
maybe
trousers.
Turn it the other way.
No, we're not helping.
Sorry. It's stressing out.
Just turn it the other way.
Yeah. There you go.
How's this team doing?
Who says he's doing it right?
Yeah, I wouldn't look over here.
That's an interesting pattern you've got on the outside of that, sorry. Just gonna... How are we doing over here?
Oh.
Also an interesting pattern on the outside of the sari.
I don't think we've seen that before.
Yeah. Well done, guys. You're the only people to ever turn it inside out.
You've got 1 minute left, by the way.
Oh, quick.
So I'd get a move
fast.
Amazing. yeah, pleat it.
You might want to tuck it into your trousers a little bit or find some way of keeping it there.
30 seconds. 30.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's a bit indecent there, not going to lie.
It's fallen off. You have 20 seconds.
20 seconds, quick. Amazing.
Okay, yeah.
We've got
13.
4, 12, 10. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Time up.
Finished! Can you do a fashion show for me? So can you walk up and down, give a bit of a pose?
You might want to hold on to it.
Back. You might want to do a bit of a lap, like make sure everyone can see. Yeah, don't trip over.
Yeah.
You do the same. Everyone give them a round of applause. Don't they look beautiful? Not the worst seen, I'm not going to lie. Not the best, but not the worst.
No,
so
We have seen full-on exposure. We've seen it around the head.
Yeah.
So
every single time we've taken these into school, we've been like, what's this? And they're like, oh, my goodness, it's a massive scarf.
We had a scarf
no
for a giraffe.
No that big, but, you know, it's fine.
But, yeah, thanks. You can take it off if you want. You can keep it on if you want. Okay. So... the next slide, please. Oh, that was... okay. The next slide, please.
This is us in our saris. That's what they're supposed to look like.
They are. We still can't quite put them on properly. It takes all four of us to get one of us into it. So you did a good job. And now we have another treat for you. So we've got three sweets that we brought back from India. And these sweets, the kids at our school absolutely love them. So we just want three of you to come up and eat it.
Now, I know that there's going to be three people who like sweets here. So
yeah. That's come on, who likes sweets?
Who likes a sweet? Yes, perfect, thank you. Does anyone else like sweeties? I know there's some liars in here, because everyone likes sweeties.
Don't eat it quite yet.
Anybody else want a sweetie? Is that a volunteer at the back? Oh, perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Yay, amazing.
Good job. Thank you very much.
Okay, so... you're all going to open these and then eat it together and just enjoy.
Our kids would take handfuls of these, so surely they can't be that bad. Yeah. Open it up. Cheers if you want. To good health.
Lychee flavoured.
Yeah.
Not that bad.
Give them a bit of a crunch.
Yeah. That will release the flavour.
Oh. We have, okay, there's water if you would like. Yeah.
Yeah, just go and breathe on somebody. Just smell the breath. Just smell the breath.
Similar to rotten eggs, some might say.
Oh, I can smell it now.
Yeah. We can't take this smell.
There's always one.
Oh, I can smell it.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
so these sweets actually have black salt in them, which we first tasted in lemonade. And Amy, what did you say?
I said it tastes like the streets smell, which in Delhi is not a good thing.
It's
That's
like
not what you want in your mouth.
And we ate them and. Our supervisor was like, you like these? And we're like, well, we've never had them before. The kids will love them. We ate them and then made that face because they are disgusting.
And never went back and we took all our spares on tour and made people suffer.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. That's the end for volunteers, you'll be happy to hear. So we'll leave you alone. Next photo. Okay, so we've got a few photos now to tell you a little bit about what we did and show you a bit about what we did as well. So this first photo is a photo of our supervisors. Our supervisors are John on the left and Abba on the right. And these are the people that looked after us in Delhi. They were like our Indian mum and dad. We love them so much. And these are the people that set up the school. So they've given their lives to the children at the school. And these kids love them. And we love them, and they've also set up another school in Mukteshwar, which is in the foothills of the Himalayas. They're trying to spread the gospel in the mountains where nobody really knows about God. And these people looked after us, they cooked for us, they got us to church, and they got us to school and back.
Yep, next slide. So this is our school. So that was our main project. We worked at the school Monday through to Friday. And in the mornings, we'd work with the women from the local area. So in India, the women often don't get an education. Or if they do, they're pulled out of school really early to be married off and to look after the family. Because that's just the thing in India. Like, it's still, the women are the hard workers, we'll say. So they don't get an education. So it's a chance for them to come back to school in the mornings and learn some English, which can then help them get a job. Like, we've got some stories about a girl at the school who actually managed to get a really good job, which was amazing. And then the kids would arrive after lunch and we would sing songs and do some exercises with them to let them get their energy out a bit before class. And then we each had our own classes that we would go to. So I had the youngest class.
Go to the next slide.
Oh yeah, sorry. Who were ages 3 to 7. So they couldn't speak English, they couldn't read or write Hindi or English. So there's a lot of basic stuff in my class.
And then the next picture is my class. I had ages 7 to 12. And in my class, we did things like recapping our alphabet. We did basic vocab, our introductions. We had maths Mondays. I don't even like maths, but I thought it was cool. We did our times tables and adding and things. And we did lots of crafts and games and things as well.
And the next photo is of my class, and they were ages 8 to 13. So the school was based on ability, not age, so there was a lot of overlap. We did stuff like adverbs and adjectives. A lot of stuff I had to reteach myself because I forgot what it was.
And then I had the oldest class, which is on the next slide. And they were about ages 12 to 16, so they were the teenagers of the school, and they were really clever, most of them. So it was a lot of reteaching myself before teaching them. But we had lots of fun, played lots of games as well.
Yeah, and our last couple of weeks in Delhi, we weren't able to go to school for a little bit because the Indian elections were coming up, so they were in May, so they've been. And the party that was in power and has been re-elected is really pro-Hindu. So they're trying to push the Hindu agenda, I guess. And so one of their like policies in their manifesto is that they want to see Christianity and Islam wiped out in India by 2021. So they were really kind of targeting Christians before the election to try and make everybody that's Hindu, which is most people in India, see that they were doing good. They think they were doing good. So we weren't able to go to school, and they had to take the Bibles out of school. It was just really hard for us because, like, these kids were, like, they had our hearts, really, and we weren't able to go and spend time with them just because of this. And they've been re-elected, which is scary. We know some missionaries who we think got sent home from India, got deported because of the new party. So we just, like, just pray for that. Keep that first. Yeah.
So then on our school, if you go to the next slide, on our school, Friday was a very special day because Friday was Friday Fun Day, which meant that there were no lessons and we just did crafts or we played games or we occasionally watched a movie, which was really fun. So the kids would come, we'd do our exercises and then we wouldn't have to teach them a lesson. We would just have lots of fun. And it was a day to sort of like get to know the kids as well as teach them and really spend some time with them, which was fun.
Yeah, and then the next photo, this is of Mukteshwar, which is the school that was mentioned earlier, or the place. So we got the chance to go there in March, which was a real blessing. We got to play with the kids who were going to be going to the school. That was John and Abba were building it at the time. And we just got to spend a chance in a very... India's so massive and... In the mountains, the cultures are quite different sometimes to in other areas. So it was just great to learn a bit more about what India's like.
Yeah, and the next photo is a photo of our church. We were lucky enough to go to an amazing church while we were in Delhi. The name of the church is awfully catchy. Delhi Bible Fellowship Southwest Dwarka Hindi Speaking Church. That is 9 words, and it's a mouthful, so we just call it church. But like the name suggests, this was a Hindi speaking church, which made our lives a little bit difficult because we didn't really have much idea what was going on. And not only that, we were incredibly tired because church starts at 8:30, which we didn't quite enjoy. But our church was amazing. This day, for example, was third Sunday of the month is Mission Sunday. And the catch line for that is each one bring one. So you bring your friends along. We didn't have friends. We brought each other. And you had a picnic in the park after the service, and an Indian picnic is bring your big pot of curry to the park. And we play games like tug of war and kabaddi and more violent games. And also while we were in India, we got to set up the Sunday school. When we arrived, the church is quite new, so we didn't have a Sunday school. And the pastor, when we arrived, heard that we liked working with kids. So we took that and ran and was like, you can set up the Sunday school, which we loved. It did make the 8:30 starts a little bit easier. And we had the best time with our kids. We had about 2 to 11 sometimes. You never knew who was turning up, but they were just amazing. And they loved the crafts and things that they did. They'd never been able to experience church in a fun way. They'd just always been stuck listening to 2-hour-long sermons. But it was really a chance for us to get out and for them to get out and enjoy each other, spreading God's love to the kids as well.
And then on the next slide, you will see the Taj Mahal. So as part of the program, you're overseas for 6 months. You get a week's holiday. But we managed to bag ourselves 2, so don't tell any other teams. And we actually met up with Team Kolkata. So there's 2 teams in India, Delhi and Kolkata. So they came to Delhi with us, and we spent New Year's with them, which was really special. We went ice skating on New Year's Eve, which was really fun. It just made it feel a bit more like home, I guess.
Yeah, and then on our holiday, if you go to the next slide, we got to go and see elephants for a day. Elephants are my favourite animal ever, and it was the best day ever. Because we got to stroke them, and we painted on them, and we fed them, and then we got to ride them, and it was a really fun day. Holiday was a really nice time for us just to relax and explore the culture in India and explore different places that we wouldn't otherwise be able to go to. So it was really fun and a bit of a de-stress and a chill.
And then the next slide should... Oh, it's monkeys. I wasn't expecting that one. We also went to a monkey temple on holiday, which was personally one of my favourite days because the monkeys would just be running along and then they'd jump on your head and we could feed them. And it was just a lot of fun. And monkeys are quite cool. So, yeah. And then the next slide. Yeah, that's what I was expecting. So before we went to Delhi, we chose a team verse, and over the time we really saw how each parts of the verse were, how we had to act on them and how we saw them also in others. So I'll just read that out. It's Colossians 3:12, which says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience."
So we're just going to go through this verse. Oh, that wasn't very loud. And like pick out a little bit as to what it means to us. So the first thing is God's chosen people. And I think it's amazing that God chose us and he chose each of us. And we are only here and we were only in Delhi because it was in God's plan and God's perfect plan that he chose us to go to Delhi. And we all have faults and we all make mistakes. And I, for myself, will definitely make mistakes in the future. And these guys aren't perfect either. So they're going to make mistakes too. but he still chose us and he knew we weren't perfect when we were going out there. And he knows we're not perfect now, but he still chose us to do his plan. And God, there's a quote that says, God doesn't call the equipped. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. And that's really relevant for us in what we did out there. None of us were equipped do the work that we did, but we were called by God, and that's all that mattered, and we gave our hearts to the work out there, and God really inspired us to do more work and really helped us see God through those. The most exciting thing is that he calls every single one of us to do his work, whether that's going on mission or whether that's in the UK. He calls us all to where we are, and he has a plan for all of us, which is really cool.
And then the next part of the verse says that we're each holy and dearly loved, which is just such a thing. We can say that and we can know that, but it's another thing to really feel it. And Easter, I'm sure, was a great time to just look over that incredible gift that God really, really loves us. And Jesus, he just went through so much pain and suffering just for one person, but he also does it for everyone. He does it for you, he does it for me, he does it for every single person that we meet. And being loved by Jesus and following him just means it's our duty to love all the other people around us. And for us in India, showing love through our actions was one of the best ways that we could just share God with people, because we didn't know the language, so we couldn't talk to them as much. But through this, God really taught us that actions are so important.
Yep. And then compassion. I think we would all say that this is one of the most amazing things that you can witness. And in India, we really learned that it doesn't have to be this amazing, big, like jaw-dropping act to really make an impact on somebody. And one moment that I think sticks out for all of us is there was lots of parks around near where we lived, and we would often just go to them and sit and chill. But when we went with their supervisor, John, he would sit with the street kids. So there's lots of street kids in India, which was really heartbreaking for all of us. But they don't interact with the other kids. It's just not a thing. So if anybody knows what the caste system is, that's like still very much a thing in India. So these kids just lacked love because they were on the streets. They had nobody to talk to. But then John, our supervisor, would just go sit with them and talk to them and play. And he just showed them the love that Jesus showed us, that unconditional love. And I think I just really want to inspire everybody here today that you can all do your own little acts of compassion, and that is a really good way to show Jesus to people.
Kindness was something that we really did experience in Delhi and all over India. The Indian culture is just such a kind culture. And while we were there, we were constantly being invited over for dinner, for drinks, chai. They were constantly feeding us, hugging us, trying to help us with our saris. And our church were amazing as well. They would translate for us when we had no idea what was happening. They would give us so many hugs, physically and metaphorically. They were just always there to look out for us and just show us so much kindness. And it's just an amazing reminder that God follows us there and back. Since being on tour, we've experienced so much kindness. People have been literally letting us into their homes. They've been trusting us with keys and alarms and really scary things that I don't want to lose. And it's just an amazing thing to be trusted with these things, that people are being so kind in us, that opening their houses, helping us, donating things to us. And they've just, so much kindness has come our way. So thank you so much for showing us that kindness in this church as well.
And then humility and gentleness are the two words after that. And one thing that the trip to India showed us was how humble God's people are. Because Christianity isn't a massive thing in India, it's like 0.9% of the population, and it's on the decrease because of the persecution. So it means that they're really humble in their faith, and they are so aware of God and what he will do and what they are expectant of him to do that is so inspirational to see. And one time in particular was Christmas. So Christmas wasn't a big thing in India. They don't care about their presents or their trees or anything like that. They just care that God that Jesus was born, and it's a pretty cool day to celebrate, which means that their celebrations are so pure and so humble in everything that they do, which was amazing for us to be able to witness and see. And the humility, is that right? I always say it and it sounds wrong. The humility of the children is another thing that we saw. And they were so humble in their giving to us and to everyone around them. They didn't have much, but what they did have, they were always willing to give us, which was so inspirational to see. And then gentleness. Gentle isn't a word that I would use to describe the children in our school. They weren't gentle. They were loud. They were energetic. They quite liked to hit each other sometimes. They were pretty violent. But it taught us how to be gentle in our loving and in our giving to them because of how they were. And one boy in particular that I would like to talk about is a boy called Sachin. And Sachin was in my class. He was about 14, 15, and he was a ball of energy. And along with that, he was a ball of naughtiness and just, he was quite irritating at times. But he came to the school, so the school that we worked at really tried to teach kids manners and how to be like good people, as well as teaching them about God. And his grandparents would come to the school and ask our supervisors to let him come to the school. And they'd be like, of course he can come to the school. And then they would come back and be like, please, can you let him come to the school? And they'd be like, of course he can come to the school. And he came to the school of this big ball of energy, of just riotness. And he really calmed down over his time at being at the school. And it was so nice for me to be able to see that over his time in my lessons, he really calmed down, and it really taught me how to be gentle with him, because the whole lack of communication and the way that he was, all you could do was be gentle and to love him, and that really was helpful in him calming down.
And then the last word is patience. So we had to be really patient with our kids, because as I'm sure all teachers know, kids can... Also, they can have a lot of energy, they can want to be disruptive, and especially as well with the language, we had to be patient trying to understand what they were saying to us and be patient in them understanding what we were trying to say to them. So patience was definitely a skill that we had to learn at school. But it's not just something that we needed then, it's also something we really need now, because we... don't know what God's involvement in the kids' lives is going to be. And we love them so much, and we just want them to have the best lives possible. But we don't know whether they'll become Christians or they'll become doctors like some of them were talking about. So we just need to show patience in trusting in God's plan. And hopefully, as cheesy as it sounds, that we will be able to see them in heaven. If not, going back to India as soon as possible. And there's one other example of a way we saw patience. So our supervisor, Abba, she had suffered with her health for about a year before we arrived. And she just never stopped praying at all. She had complete confidence that God would heal her, and she was just patient in his timing. And when we did see her healed, she was just so joyful. And we just find that because she was so patient in that, and she was trusting God, that when she was healed, she could just, like, she was just bouncing off the walls with happiness about it. And we'd go and ask her in the morning, we'd say, Abba, how are you today? And she'd say, by the grace of God, I am well. Which is just something really special that we've all taken away. And hopefully we can now take that and be patient in our own prayers.
So that's a wee bit about our team verse, and hopefully you can see how much that does mean to us and how much it really helped us while we were away. But one thing as a team we like to encourage and challenge churches by saying is that we did go across the world to do mission, but we also know that mission is not something that you have to go abroad to do. We know that there's so much mission to be done in our surrounding areas. Bromsgrove, I'm sure there's lots of things that can be helped. And it's just, mission isn't always going abroad. It can be as simple as encouraging people around you, spending time with people, and just showing people God's love. Because that needs to be done here just as much as it does in India and Africa and America. So just think about that when you think that God might not be using you, or you're like, why didn't he call me to do something like that? It's just really important to realize that God does use us, and he uses us in so many different ways, and that his mission, spreading his love, can be done here just as much as it can anywhere else. And then the next slide, I think.
Yes, so as I said earlier, Team Deli loves a video. And this video is called a second a day video, which means that we say video a lot when we explain this. Every video in this video is 1 second long. We love this video because it really just shows our day-to-day lives. We talk a lot about our work and what we had to do, which this video does include, but it also just includes the days that we didn't leave the flat. It shows our electric fridge, and it's just got like little moments of what it's really like to live in another country, as well as do the work that we did. So I hope you enjoy.
birthday to
Well, I know you've got a whole load more. We could spend a whole load more time, couldn't we? Talking about the things that you've experienced and been changed by. You can't go and live 6 months in a different culture and immerse yourself completely in it like you clearly have without it affecting you, can you? And without it changing you. We were talking the other day about when I went to Bosnia for 5 weeks, quite a long time ago now, how much that changed me just in that short time. And you went for 6 months. So, yeah, well done for you for sticking it out and, letting it make the difference to you that it has. Now, don't want to make you cry, right? This time next week. Yeah, see. By this time next week, BMS action teams for you are done. Okay. So, obviously life carries on. What I want to pray for you, and I'm going to do that in a moment, is that the things that God has touched you with and changed you with in your 6 months, you're going to hold on to those. And you're going to let them make the difference that God wants you to carry through the rest of your life and the things that you go on sharing with other people. So let's just very quickly for each of you, what's next? Because, you know, Hannah, you made a comment in passing about going back to India as soon as possible. I guess, you know, if I had airline tickets in my back pocket and said, you could go tomorrow if you want, you may well do. Okay, but yeah, I know you're not doing that. I don't have airline tickets in my back pocket. If I did, I'd probably go myself. So what's next?
Well, summer.
Is that on?
And yeah, I think sound. Yeah. And then I'm going to Exeter Uni to do geography.
Okay. I'm going to a Bible college, Cliff College, to do theology and youth work.
I'm going to the University of Dundee to do children's nursing.
And I'm going to the University of West of Scotland to do bioscience and zoology.
So all really quite different. Yeah. Okay. So let's pray for you and pray for the friendships that you've developed with each other, that they will continue. You're going to be in all kinds of parts, different parts of the country, but maybe every now and then you'll be able to get together. You two might have to travel a bit south. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, meet in the middle. Yeah. Yeah, well, he is kind of in the middle, you know, come see us again. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for today that we can catch just a little bit of the heart of these guys and the things that you have enabled them to do and equipped them to do during their time in India. Thank you for BMS World Mission, the way that they put these programs together and structure them in a way that doesn't just shove people off out the country for 6 months and leave them to fend for themselves, but they are well cared for and supported. Thank you that these guys have explained how that's been for them. And Lord, for the things that they have given to the children and the families, the people they've interacted with in India, Lord, you will take hold of that and grow that and have that rooted deeply in those children's lives. They will remember these for the rest of their lives. And Father, I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you will overcome the challenge of a culture that is trying to suppress the spread of the gospel. Lord, don't let that happen. Lord, we know that in you we have the victory in all things. And Lord, I pray for Hannah, for Orla, for Amy, for Cody, for the things that you have given to them personally, the way that you have changed their lives personally, that they will hold on to that and let that shape all that you will do in them and through them in the years ahead of them. Father, for these new life stages that are about to begin in universities, then, Lord, affirm in each of them that they are in the right place and that in those places they are able to be serving you and witnessing for you. And yeah, Lord, we would love to be able to see them again and see how they're flourishing and growing in you and in their witness for you. So Lord, be with them and pray a blessing over them. Thank you for the blessing that they are being to us this weekend, and will be to Sparks tonight and at Millfields tomorrow morning. And Lord, yeah, pray for this last week ahead of them, that there will be time and space to reflect and to reconnect with you in the ways that you have prepared for them for this week ahead. So Father, bless them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.